Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is Point of View. My name is Phemelo Modena. You're going to be with me until 10 today. I did say that Brenda Sasane is going to be, she's already here, as Gugu was saying, she's already here. So that's going to be our profile. Cannot wait. So send in your questions as well. You obviously usually hear her in front of the mic like myself, but probably doesn't, you know, you don't know much about her. So this is a great opportunity for you to really get to know her. So let's start here. You may have seen that over the weekend, the Minister of Police announced that they, again, were able to send in the Hawks and everybody working very well together to go and to really make sure that the place they are calling a military-related type firearm training facility was discovered, seemingly illegal, in Modimolle in Limpopo. On the line with us is Chairperson of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Police, Ian Cameron. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Sure. You and I have spoken in the space of 2 weeks about a discovery of one other facility. We are now here. It's a third one. Your take on all these discoveries, Ian?
The latter one that you spoke of, I'm not yet completely convinced that it's the same type of yes. camp that we saw earlier and the other two that were spoken up of with the Libya National. Mm. I think a lot of this is happening because of the lack of regulations and directive control, regulatory control that was done over the years. I think, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, because it plays a good and a bad role, the private sector in South Africa grew extremely fast. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to the fault of, for example, CIRA, that I don't think they always kept a tight hold on mm-hmm. everything. But at mm-hmm. the same time, I think it left a lot of loopholes and gaps for some entities to get away with things that they shouldn't necessarily get away with.
Yeah. In fact, you make the point about CIRA. We spoke to CIRA last week, and it was quite evident that, yes, they know who's on their database, but very difficult for them to assess upon registration or when somebody does ask for accreditation to really assess what this person or this company is here to do.
Yeah, and if you look at CIRA's training material, it's extremely outdated. Mm. So, I mean, people can say that, yes, we have certain CIRA qualifications, but I'm not completely convinced that it is actually of such a high standard anymore, because the industry has grown and developed to a point way beyond what is being trained. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, one of the modules even still has the old flag in it.
Mm.
It is extremely outdated. It is very, very old. And therefore, I think there's a lot of work to be done. That being said, I think the more important part is not necessarily the detail of the training and so on and so forth. I mean, the private sector can do a lot of that. I think the issue is rather to make sure that CIRA isn't just an administrative player,
mm-hmm.
that it is actually something or someone, a body that literally gets on the ground, spends time, properly inspects the private sector, mm-hmm. and makes sure that it's up to scratch.
Ian, why do you think it's not possible? So sometimes, and I don't know, you're going to have to tell me, is it the resources? I suspect it's not. I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure money is an issue. Why do you think they don't have the capacity to properly monitor on the ground who's conducting what activities?
I think it might be a lack of previous political interest, mm-hmm. Political motive to really get it done. I'm not convinced that interest was always necessarily there. There's a big inclination, and there has always been, especially the last 15 to 20 years, a big inclination to try and make everything kind of state-run and state-owned, you know, the whole nationalized type of approach.
Mm.
And obviously, in terms of the private sector, that wouldn't necessarily work very well. So I'm not sure if that's the reason why resources weren't necessarily allocated the way it should have been. That being said, again, if you ensure that you've got competent people in high places, then it shouldn't necessarily be a problem. Now, my experience with CIRA personally mm-hmm. and through the Portfolio Committee has been extremely positive.
Mm.
You know, even when you ask difficult questions, They not only stand their ground, but they're honest with the answer. They don't sugarcoat. You know, they speak straight. So I don't think there's necessarily ill intent. Obviously, no one in this world has no rotten potatoes. So we know that that is a possibility. But generally speaking, I think it may have been a bit of a strategic leadership issue. And it hopefully is something that we can sort out now.
Again, this third facility was discovered because of a tip-off received by the Hawks, so says the minister. I'm worried, Ian. I think you and I touched on this a little bit the last time about intelligence. I'm worried that all three facilities really were discovered because of tip-offs, because, you know, somebody blew the whistle in the area. I don't know if we should be as concerned as I am, but I'm worried that the community is the one raising and flagging what's happening. Intelligence is not telling us or foiling it even before we get there.
I think you've got more than enough reason to be worried. In fact, I would put it even stronger. I'd say I'm extremely worried, and I really am. I mean, just in the last 24 hours, I'm aware of four crime intelligence members that were arrested, I think, in Gauteng, also for extortion and kidnapping. Just today, the previous head of crime intelligence in the Western Cape, I literally just broke the news on social media 15 minutes ago, was sacked. He's been charged, amongst other things, for defeating the ends of justice and kidnapping. And, I mean, this is the previous head of crime intelligence, and controversy around General Teal dates back to 2013. So for 11 years that we know of, there were question marks around the way that he conducted himself. And there are many more examples. So I'm extremely worried about crime intelligence. It's one of the focus areas from the Police Portfolio Committee side. We say it not only needs restructuring, but it needs serious intervention with regards to professionalizing it and making sure that it is not filled with rotten apples. And obviously, we would need to clean that up. So I'm extremely worried about that, but it's not something that we're going to fix overnight.
We now, it's 2 weeks in and we are on the third facility, and you said you're not sure that this particular one is the same as the other ones. I also don't have much detail. I just know that they you know, there were arms cache, quite a big one there discovered. So we'll obviously get details later. But is there a sense, the Freedom Front did ask this in Parliament, is there a sense that there are more of these out there that we still have to discover?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think for the past few years, we've all heard the rumors and seen allegations of terrorist cells and terrorism-linked groups that operate in South Africa, that use South Africa to launder money. Now, I'm obviously not an intelligence operative of any kind, but we've seen the reports, we've read it. If you go and read some of the reports by the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime, and you read the trafficking reports, and when I say trafficking, I mean in the broader sense, from arms, drugs, human trafficking, etc. It is extremely, extremely profitable in South Africa. It's a very healthy business in South Africa, and so I wouldn't be surprised. I don't necessarily think that it's something that happens on a massive scale in South Africa. We've got huge camps that no one knows about, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are more of them. I do, although, believe that we've got a bigger problem with organized crime groups that do other things, and that possibly then, as said by many of these reports, you know, fund other illicit activities elsewhere in the world.
Again, when we spoke to Sarah, I got the impression that it's also quite difficult to convict some of these owners, the owners of these facilities. It seems to me, and you can also help us here, it seems to me that wheel is going to be quite long to turn of justice and making sure that people, the right people, are convicted. So, of course, you'll take the 95 Libyans that you will arrest and take them through the court system, but the owners of the companies, you know, are still free. And so that concerns me. What should be happening there?
Yeah, well, I personally don't think it's that difficult. I think it might take time, but I think if they appoint the correct people, they can do the relevant oversight and make sure that it happens properly. These aren't complex cases. Many of them aren't that complex. For example, let's say they were using, like with this one case, they transported firearms that they weren't meant to transport, they were using firearms that they weren't competent for, whatever the reason may be. There are more than enough charges in the Firearm Controls Act, well as the Criminal Procedure Act that you can use against those types of offences. So I'm not too concerned about that. To me, the major challenge is the time that passes and the how long it takes, you know. But I mean, for all practical purposes, there's no reason why, for example, CIRA, SAPS, the Hawks and the NPA can't get around the table and say, hey, let's have a small path team, let's focus on this and clean it up. There are many ways to skin a cat, figuratively speaking, and I think they can very easily do that. There is absolutely no excuse not to have solid convictions on this. Again, it's not that complex.
So what questions are you going to be asking CIRA?
What I want to know is how the actual, why are we not seeing them actually finding these things before it happens? In other words, what checks and balances do you put in place, do you have in place to ensure that these things don't happen? How do you make sure that you actively monitor and do unannounced visits to training facilities to ensure that they aren't busy with things they're not meant to be busy with? You know, you've got the Bidvest Protea coins, the Fidelity guards, you know, you've got the big players that are often over-regulated and not necessarily wrongly so, but then you have got these small players. Let's use the Cape Flats as an example. In the Cape Flats, there are numerous security companies that are linked with senior and serious gang bosses, and they use these companies not only to wash, to
recycle the money,
to recycle money, launder money, but they also use these security companies to gain access to firearms. And legal firearms. So it makes it difficult. So I want to understand that. And I also want to understand why is it taking so long? Because again, this isn't something new. We've all known about this. We've seen these issues over the years. We're not seeing enough outspoken and sharp-edged action against the perpetrators. Because also when you ask about the convictions, we shouldn't just be convicting the people of the security company or the training facility or the Libyans that were found there. We should be convicting the person in CIRA that signed off in the first place. That's where we need to tackle them. And then we'll be able to clean up shop properly.
Well, looking forward to that. Really appreciate your time. Chairperson of the Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Police in Cameron. And he also is going to be posing, as you heard, some questions to CIRA. But I think this is very, very important. Your thoughts on this, 086-000-0959. You can also send voice notes on 063-680-0959. I said to Ian Cameron, I'm concerned. He said, no. You should be very, very worried. And I think that's just it, because we are talking about national security here. And if in the space of 2 weeks we are sitting on facility number 3, and yes, there's a slight difference between what these guys are doing to the other two facilities, my concern is they've waited for the public to warn the Hawks. Where is intelligence? Why are we waiting for people to, you know, to whistleblow? Why are we waiting for communities to be the ones telling us this is happening? And another question is, how many of these are there? How many of these facilities, these training camps, military training camps, do we have in this country? 086-000-0959. Your take on all of this. And I'm very happy to take your voice notes on 063-688-0959. 14 minutes after 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.